his children. Yes, in the Ark of the Covenant, we see the law. We see it was the testimony. He called it the testimony of what he was doing. It was a testimony of his covenant. It was a testimony of his relationship, of his promises over Israel, that they were his people and that he wanted to be with them. And some of the things that were in there were, of course, besides having the tablets in there with the law on it, it also had the golden jar of manna. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. And it also had the Aaron's bud that blossomed. But I'm not going to really focus on that today. But anyway, so when that first tabernacle was erected, it was anointed, and it was anointed with oil. Everything was anointed with oil. All the golden utensils, all of the places for worship, the lampstands, the wash basins, the altars, everything was anointed with oil and consecrated and sprinkled with blood. It was the blood of bulls and goats. And it was holy, and including the priests, everything about the priests, they were also anointed and sprinkled, because everything about the tabernacle was made holy by this anointing, by being consecrated. It was all set apart by God, for God, so that he could dwell with his people. And that was important. When it was all completed, this cloud covered the tent of meeting. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses wasn't even able to enter the tent because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It was that weightiness, that Shekinah glory of God, that weighty presence of the Lord, that he couldn't even stand in God's presence. It was holy. I want to look real quick at Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to take a peek at this second tabernacle, this second temple that I'm talking about. Now, this is the crowning point of what we're saying. We have a magnificent king priest who ministers for us at the right hand of God. He is enthroned with honor next to the throne of the majesty on high. And so Jesus now is in this holy sanctuary. He's ministering for us. It used to be the priests. The priests would have to go and they would minister. They could only go in the Holy of Holies once a year. And everything had to be just so. It was, but Jesus, of course, we know that Jesus took down that veil that separated us so that we could have communion with God. Again, we see how purposeful God is at making sure that we can have communion with him, that we can dwell with him. It says that's the heart of his heart, is that we can dwell with him, that we can abide with him, that we can have this communion. It's a daily communing with God. And Jesus had the perfect sacrifice. It was a one-time sacrifice, his blood. You know, he had in the old covenant, you see the blood of bulls and goats that had to be poured out and sprinkled over and over and over again. In the new covenant, it was done once for us, right? Jesus accomplished the task on the cross where his shed blood paid for that sacrifice for us once and for all. No more sacrifices needed. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, in Hebrews 8:10, she doesn't have to pull that up, but there's he said that he will establish a new covenant. And that with this new covenant, he was going to put his laws into our minds and write them on our hearts. And I just want to point out to you that that is like really symbolic of that Ark of the Covenant, right? We see that golden manna that he placed in the Ark of the Covenant. It was a daily manna. We see the testimony of his covenant with them. And now he said he's written that in our hearts. He's put the new testimony of this new covenant in our hearts. And he's written it in our minds and in our hearts. And we see that in that with that manna, that was a daily thing, right? The manna, they had to go out and they had to gather it every day, except for Sunday, of course, and they had to be obedient, right? There was obedience that was required in it. It wasn't just that they could go do something that they weren't told. They were told how they were going to have this, how things were going to be done, and to follow and to listen to the things that God said is what put them in this place where they were blessed, right? If they gathered too much manna, They didn't have any blessing in that because the manna stunk and got all rotten the next, you know, if they tried to gather too much, except for Saturday when he said, that'll last you, or the Sabbath, which was different than ours, but and he had them gather twice as much so that they would have some on the Sabbath, so they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. They didn't have to go gather it. But that manna was a daily gathering. You know, Jesus is called the bread of life. In the Lord's Prayer, we see that, give us this day, our daily bread. Not give us this week, our daily bread. Not give us this month, our daily bread. But give us this day. Today is this day. Every day is this day. And, you know, in the old tabernacle, we see that manna was already in that golden jar. It was a done deal. But in the new covenant, where he said he's put those things in our heart, he's done his part. He did his part on the cross, but we daily do our part. Our part daily is to consume his word, because Jesus is the living bread. Jesus is the bread of life. And he said, he who comes to me will never, never be hungry. So every day, I just want to say that it's so important to feed yourself on God's word, because that is the place. It says, what you put in your heart, that's where your treasure is, and that's what's going to come out. And we heard a little bit of that last week with our guest speakers. You know, they're talking about how we need to tweak some of those things that we're saying, tweak some of the things that we believe. And that's because where we need to find that truth that we need to put into our minds and our hearts is in his word. And his word is living, and his word is breathing. And so we consume that, and that's our daily bread. And we're filling up our manna jar. We're filling up our hearts with his word. You know, can you imagine if maybe once a week if you're married, can you just imagine if once a week you had a nice conversation with your wife? Or maybe once a week you got to eat. But sometimes that's how we treat the word of God. We just think, well, I read the word this week. I read the word, you know, let me see. Maybe it's been a couple weeks now since I read the word. But how is that going to feed? How's that going to feed your spirit? We need to daily put that in there. You know, there's going to be some days, of course, where things happen, and I'm not saying it's not law, right, that you do that. It's really is for our benefit, right? Because when we abide in him, his lifeblood flows through us. We are strengthened because we are abiding in him. That's where we gain our strength for the things that come against us during the day. So, and Jesus is the prize, right? Jesus paid the price for us. He did the work on the cross, but he is our prize. It's a relationship with him that sustains us and gives us life. It's daily entering into his presence. And even if you're just taking a walk and you just are listening, it's listening to, it's not just telling him everything that's on your heart. It really is taking the time to listen because he speaks, says his sheep hear his voice. Well, he speaks. He's speaking all around us, right? He says the creation sings his glory. Things in, you know, all in creation sings the glory of the Lord. And so you don't have to look very far to see and to hear the things that the Lord is saying to you. So I just want to encourage you in that, to just daily spend time in his presence, seek him out, and really pay attention to the ways that he speaks to you. The way that he speaks to you might be different than the way he speaks to your friend, the way he speaks to your brother or your sister or your spouse, right? Because he's unique and you're unique. He made you unique. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit dwells in you? So there's that one, you know, in the tabernacle, the Spirit of God dwelt there in that, you know, he was in that Holy of Holies all the time, right? But then there was sometimes when he came in power and glory, and they couldn't stand in his presence. And now we are the temple of God. His Holy Spirit dwells in us. But there are times, you know, the Spirit is breath. The Holy Spirit is called the breath, the ruach, the breath of God, and the wind of God. Sometimes he's described as fire. Sometimes the living water that flows from us. And so there are going to be different ways that that he speaks to you. There are going to be ways where you might feel him tugging at the innermost part of you or bringing up a scripture inside of you. But there might be times when you get something from the outside. You feel something from the outside with your senses, or somebody tells you something, or in a song. He just washes over you. There might be times when his presence is so weighty that you are not able to stand up and worship him. And I want her to pull up Ephesians 2:10, and this is in the Passion Translation. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. And again, that was through his work. Yes, even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Hallelujah. That's a good word. He planned in advance. So from the beginning of time, before time began, he had us in his heart. He had us in his mind. He had a plan for us. He had a purpose for us. He had things for us to do. And from eternity, he is calling us to the place that he has destined for us. He predestined it for us. And that, you know, we're recreated. It says that we were created anew in his image. So when we say yes to Jesus, and it says that we were joined to him, we were engrafted into him, we were planted with him, and so now we are a totally new creation in Christ Jesus. We are one with him. We're in the closest possible union with his spirit. It says that we were crucified with him, that we were buried with him, that we were resurrected with him. And so we were with him. He did that work, but we need to do our part in that. But part of that is recognizing who he says we are. Who he says we are. And do you know that one of the words for create is to make habitable? I thought this was amazing because in the tabernacle, they made it habitable for his presence to dwell there. Everything was done with the height of excellency. All the gold, all the silver, all the bronze, everything beautiful, all the finest linens, the purple, the scarlet, and everything. It was gorgeous, a gorgeous work of art, right? And anointed with oil and consecrated with blood. And it was made habitable for him to dwell. It was made a place for him to dwell. But in our case, he made us habitable. He did the work. He came, he anointed, he sprinkled, he totally recreated us in his image. It says we were made in his image, right? We're created in his image. We're born again into his image. As the Spirit of God is in the world, so are we in Christ. So while he is in us, we're also in him. It's an amazing picture, but he did the work for us. He made us habitable. He totally did. We are his masterpiece. You guys are his masterpiece. You guys are beautiful. You guys are more beautiful than the purest gold, than the finest silver, than all these beautiful linens and tapestries. You think that was a work of art? Woo! Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. And you know what mirror you're supposed to look in? This one. Look in the mirror. The true mirror. The true mirror says who you are. Sometimes our physical mirrors lie. We look in the mirror and we're like, I don't really like what I see in there today. But you know what? Jesus does. Jesus loves what he sees because you're his masterpiece. He has things planned for you from before time began, and he's going to make sure you fulfill them. It says he will make sure that you fulfill the plans that he has for you. So you don't have to strive and you don't have to worry about that. Really, the whole thing is just about abiding. Abiding. So I'm going to have her pull up John 15. In verses 4 through 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Boy, if you just want to just soak in John 15, you could just spend a day soaking in John 15 and what that means to abide in him. You know, it says, I've made my home, he says in the Message translation, I've made my home in you. Now you make your home in me. So he's done that part, right? He's made his home in us. That's the done part. That's the finished work of the cross. Now we make our home in him. That's our part. That's filling our manna jar. That's spending time in his presence. That's quieting ourselves. Be still, he says. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes the world is so busy around us, it's hard to take time, right? It's hard to take time out and just say, oh, no, I'm just going to have to go off by myself for just a little bit. But it's not going off by yourself, right? It's going off with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's going off with the one who paid the highest, highest possible price so that you could be one with him. The very highest price, precious, precious. His blood is more precious than all the gold and silver in the world. His blood is more precious than anything that was ever spilled on the face of this earth. And his blood covers us, right? And his Holy Spirit fills us. We have that anointing oil of the Holy Spirit, that precious oil. It's fragrant, right? All those oils, everything they made for the sanctuary. Oh boy, it was fragrant. It smelled good. It smelled good, right? It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so when we abide in him and we are allowing him to abide in us by consuming his word, we don't just read the word and think, well, you know, some guys put this together, you know, multiple people wrote it, and, you know, I don't know if I can really trust it as God's word. You know, like, how could he preserve it? The God of the universe, I guarantee you, he can preserve his word through the ages. And this is a living word. This is, Jesus described himself as the word, right? He was the word before time began, before we were here. He was the word, right? So this is the living word. It's this Jesus from cover to cover. It's a revelation of him. So you just sit down and you let that word, as it washes over you, you just let it bring revelation into you. You let it bring his light and his life into you, then, and it flows through you. Let's go ahead and pull up Galatians 5, 22 through 23. This is a good way to check yourself, right? Sometimes they say, oh, you might want to do a self-evaluation and see where you're at today, see what's happening in your life. And this is a great way to do it right here. The fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. These qualities are meant to be limitless. And so, you know, again, you can picture that vine with us connected to the vine. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. And when we're connected to Jesus, when we are abiding in him, his life flows through us, all the strength, all the lifeblood, everything flows through us, all these things, right? They just naturally flow. And so you can picture those giant grapes that they went in and they got in the promised land. But, you know, you are his promised land. You're his promised land, and where those giant grapes are, that's what's growing on the end of the branches of you, and that's what people see, and that's how they can taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? It's because those things, when you're abiding in him, those things just flow from you. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, strength of spirit. Right? These things, you can tell in myself, if there's been times in my life when I haven't been consistent in reading the word, or things got so busy and I wasn't. I know sometimes when the kids were little, there were times when I don't know how long it went without reading the word. But I'm going to tell you that if somebody stepped into my house, they would have been able to tell that I hadn't been plugged in, because they would see that I was sapped of all my strength. I didn't have any strength. I wasn't operating in grace. I wasn't having joy that overflowed. The peace probably was lacking. Some of the words that came out of my mouth probably weren't the kindest words to my children. You know, but we are to determine to know nothing among one another except Christ and Him crucified. So when we look at one another, I mean, can you imagine if you're having a conversation with somebody? I mean, the next time you're having a conversation with somebody, just picture it's Christ and Him crucified. How are you going to speak to Him? How would you speak to Christ if He's right in front of you? If this is, you know, I'm going to have a conversation with Christina. Am I going to speak to Christina like she's just Christina? Or am I going to speak to Christina like she's a temple of the living God? She's got Christ in her, the hope of glory. Like that's Christ and Him crucified. Am I going to have the conversation with my husband that same way? Or am I going to treat him that same way, where it's that I'm determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified? And because Christ sees in each one of us the destiny that He has for us, the promises that He's spoken over our lives. So those are the things that He says He wants to show us. So He'll show us those things. When we're spending time with Him, He'll start giving you a word of knowledge about somebody. Somebody might come up to you, and instead of just seeing this homeless person, you'll see that the homeless person came up and that she came out of this broken home, and she's been estranged from her family, and she was rejected because of a decision she made in her life. And God will show you those things, and He'll show you how much He loves that person, and He'll give you the right words to speak over that person. And so that's really what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be that extension, right? Where as Christ is in the world, so are we. And so that's like what we saw last week with the healing service, right? It wasn't that, it wasn't anything necessarily that they had that you guys don't all have, right? It's Christ in them, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everywhere you go. And so everywhere you go, you have the fragrance of Christ, right? And there were different sounds. You know, you think of all the little pomegranate bells that were on the bottom of the priests, you know, and everywhere they went, it was like this sweet sound. And then there's this fragrance of the oil and the incense and everything. And that's what we're supposed to be wherever we go. We're the temple of the living God. And Christ dwells in us. And so we have that. And we're that vine. We're that fruit. So that people should be drawn to us like they were like, whoa, those are the most amazing grapes. And they shouldn't even be thinking about any giants, right? They shouldn't be thinking about any problems they have. They should just be so drawn to want to taste and see, what is it that you have? I want that. I want to have what you have. That's tasty. That's good. So, and I just want to encourage you, too, that it's this instructing and the guiding along the way, right? With the Holy Spirit. He's the one in you. He said He's our comforter. He's our guide. He's our friend. He's our best friend. You can tell Him anything, and He wants to tell you things, right? He says, I'm going to take from what the Father showed me, and I'm going to declare it to you. It's like, oh, special secrets. And it said, God has hidden things not from us, but for us, right? It's for us. There's like special treasures in here that He hid just for you. Just for you to find. There's things in here that, you know, it might not mean the same thing to you today as it did even 5 years ago, right? But He's going to speak to you, and He's going to show you, and He's going to give you revelation and specific things just for the day. Just for the day. And you'll find that, the Holy Spirit. You'll recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, practice His presence. Practice being aware of His presence in your life daily. So that you know when He's speaking to you, right? And again, like I said, you know, sometimes you'll see, for instance, when you go to the mountains. I love to go to the mountains at this time of year. I love the golden aspen trees. I absolutely love them. And one of the things that has really struck me in the most recent years about them is when the wind blows. And I just feel like that's the glory of the Lord. You see, it's like the Holy Spirit. And he's like that with you. And then it's like people see that, you know, and they hear. When you're standing in an aspen grove, you hear that sound. You hear the sound of the wind. You see the quaking of the leaves, and it's beautiful. And that's another picture of what he wants to do in you. He just blow on you, just feel that presence of the Holy Spirit. And so you might feel it from the inside. You might feel it from the outside. What somebody else is experiencing might look totally different from what you're experiencing. I would encourage you not to judge it. You can ask God about it and say, you know, what do you see, Lord? What do you see? But I just, I'm so thankful that for all the preparation, and we see everything that he put, that went into the tabernacle, and then to sit there and realize, wow, I'm more precious than that. Each of you is more precious than that. You house the living God in you. And he made you habitable. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what somebody says. It doesn't matter if somebody says, you're not worthy. It doesn't matter if somebody says, do you remember that thing you did 5 years ago? Do you remember the thing you did 2 minutes ago? You know, because what his word says is the truth. This is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. So if you want to know which way to go, if you want to know the truth, and if you want to be filled with life, then fill your mana jars with what's with him and what he says over you. So, yeah, so I just, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the way. You are the life. Thank you that you are the truth. And I thank you that you fill us with your very presence. Thank you that you've called us your temple, that you've called us your workmanship, your poem, your craftsmanship. We're your masterpiece, a totally recreated people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are good always, always. You love us. You love us so, so much that you gave your Son for us, Father, so that we could be one with you, because you always wanted to dwell with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You've made a way for that to be possible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for how precious you saw us. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that was spilled for us. Thank you for your body, Jesus, that was broken for us. Thank you for your finished work on the cross, Lord, that you've made us a holy people, that you've made us righteous. Thank you that you redeemed us, Lord. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. You alone are worthy. You alone are holy. Let us treat as holy this work that you've done in us. Everything in the temple, it was holy, holy, holy. Everything you've done in us, Lord, is holy. It's a holy work. Let us treat it as holy, what you've done, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, with that, we'll take our offering. And so on the back of the chairs, there's envelopes. If you guys want to do it the old-fashioned way and drop it in the offering boxes, you can do that. You can text "hi" to this number on the screen. Text the amount. Text the amount. Thank you. Text the amount to that number, 84321. Don't let me confuse you, because I could do that pretty easily. And you can still give online. If you mail in a check, do it to that P.O. box number, please, 8023. 8023. Thank you. And one other thing, you know that Tiffany mentioned that to keep the kids away from the pool area. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is do like a church beautification out here. We're filling that pool in. We're hoping to put up some kind of a gazebo or pavilion out here where we can meet and gather out there and have some of our picnics and stuff. And so if anybody wants to give specifically for that, then you can, I don't know how exactly you do that. I know on your check you could put it in the memo. How do they do that if they're doing it online? Is there a special thing? Yep, it says pool project. So if you want to do that too, you can also do that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for helping with that. And do we want to read a scripture together? Yes. There we go. All right. You guys can go ahead and stand. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of all of you. Thank you, Jesus. And these guys over here on my right will be here to pray for anybody who wants prayer. Please don't leave without receiving prayer. And as we saw last week, you know, we just are believing. This is a place of healing. The healer lives inside of you, right? Jesus is the healer. It is his will to heal. That's his nature to heal. And because he dwells inside of you, he will speak through you to heal somebody else. It's him that does the healing, but he partners with us because we're in union with him. We've been engrafted into him. That's what he wanted to do. He wants to have that union with us, that communion with us. And so to partner with him, if you all have anything that needs prayer for, please come up and see these guys. Thank you so much, and you guys.